Welcome to Prepare Without Fear. I'm your host, Jim Phillips, on this beautiful afternoon, welcoming you here where we share with you some concepts and ideas about becoming prepared and how you can do that. You know, to me, it's about learning to face the future without fear, no matter what may happen. And you do that by having an understanding and taking control of the situations, both now, but preparing for the future. Now, this is number 11 in our series of these classroom programs. And one of the things that I would encourage you to do is that if you haven't been with us before, that all of the previous programs are archived on RBN. And I would tell you, go to the website, go to the archives, and then you can look and listen to any one of these programs that have been archived by RBN, and we really appreciate them for doing that, because it gives me a place to send people when they ask questions, I can't give private seminars all the time. I travel around the country and do them as often as I can, but here we have a place where you can listen. Now, if you have questions that you'd like to see covered in the future, you can send me an email at askjim@preparemyfamily.com. That's askjim@preparemyfamily.com. There's also a toll-free voicemail where you can leave your questions or your messages, and that is 800-U-GET-SET. That's 888-U-GET-SET. 888, the letter U, get set, and you can leave your messages and questions there, and they will come to me. Another thing you can do is go to our primary website, which is preparemyfamily.com, where you can learn more about some of the programs that we have. Now, today's program, as always, I start out with just a little bit of a review. And a little later in the program, we're going to have a guest on here with me to help round out some of the information that I want you to have. As a matter of fact, I like having other people as we go along, because you'll get tired of hearing this old guy talk about some of these things. So I look forward to some of our guests. As we get started, you know, this is a very serious topic, and it's very easy to become morose about it if we're not careful. So I like to keep it positive and upbeat, not flippant, but take a look at it from a very positive standpoint. If you remember what I've said all along about the truth about life, there is no doubt that tomorrow will come, and there's no dispute that things happen. But how you are prepared to meet tomorrow will make all the difference in the world. If you're prepared for the worst, then no matter what happens, it will be an adventure. Now, how do we prepare ourselves to think like that? And very quickly review, you remember the first law of survival, which is luck, laboring under correct knowledge. Luck is all about laboring under correct knowledge. The second law of survival is you must learn and practice CPR right now. Of course, CPR stands for courage, patience, and resourcefulness. The principle is this. You see, if I just give you a list of things to buy, then when things really get tough, you'll just give up and die, because you have to know what to do with these things. That's why we give you these laws. The law of freedom, if you'll remember, is what's the definition of fear? Well, it's ignorance. What's the flip side of that? The description of freedom is it is impossible to fear anything for which you have true and complete knowledge. And, of course, John 8:32 says it the best way, and the truth shall make you free. The parachutes that will save your life in an emergency, the parachute analogy, we simply say this: you have to have it before you really need it. You have to have it on when you need it. You have to know how to use it. You have to actually use it. And, of course, it must be of life-saving quality. The law of provident living is one of those base principles that's so critical for everything that we do. It has four parts. And we'll identify those things, go into depth in our quick little review, and then on to special needs and long-term considerations right after this break. We'll be right back.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. I'm your host, Kim Phillips. Continuing with our quick review for just a few seconds here, for those of you that may not have been with us before, I'd like you to at least have an idea of where we're coming from, but I certainly encourage you to go to the RBN website and listen to those archived programs, because they're all there in a series right in order, and you can go through this material and catch up. We're talking before the break about the law of provident living. And the four parts that make up provident living. In fact, this, you know, what's provident living? That's about making provisions for the future in all areas of your life, not just emergencies, but of course it fits here too. They are in order of priority. Number one is spiritual. Number two, attitude. Number three is knowledge. And the number four is stuff, the material things. And it has to be in that order, because if you think you're safe just because you have a bunch of things, you probably won't make it when it really gets bad. It is spiritual, attitude, knowledge, and then stuff. Inside of the provident living point number four, which is stuff or material things, it really breaks down into two parts. One of them is the survival parachutes, and then the permanent provisions. And we're going to be talking about number four of the survival parachutes or preparedness parachutes this afternoon. Okay, the preparedness parachutes are, in order, number one, clothing, number two, water, number three, sanitation, and number four is special needs. That's the one we'll be discussing today. For long-term provisions, you have, starting out the same way, clothing, water, sanitation, and then it's nutrition, shelter, wellness, tools, and food, and supplies. Food you see as a supply item, but it is tools, number 7, and number 8 is supplies, in that order. We'll be discussing each one of these 8 as we go along, and if you listen to the past programs, you'll see that we are already through number 4 in the parachutes as of today. So I make this statement all along that if you do what I do, then you can do what I do. All right, what's special needs all about? Well, really special needs, as well as the entire program, but special needs is nothing more than about health and wellness considerations. You see, when we talk about the parachutes, the parachute analogy is that we're looking at things that happen and you don't have to endure them for more than a few days, maybe a couple of weeks. When you get beyond a couple of weeks, now we start moving into the long-term considerations, the long-term provisions. So back in this parachute area, if you remember, that number 1 was clothing, because when the weather's really bad, you don't make it long. Number 2 is water, because, hey, how long do you make it without water? Just a few hours, a few days. Sanitation is critical, because if you get sick within the first couple of days and die of cholera or something else, then that hasn't worked out well for you. And then number 4 is special needs. Now, notice when we talk about these parachutes that food is not on the list. You can listen all about this in a previous program on the parachutes, but food's not on the list because it takes you more than 3 or 4 days to starve to death unless you have a special need. Now, there are some people that because of their metabolic processes, because of their health, because of something that may not be right in their bodies, that they, in fact, do need to eat regularly. They may have to eat particular kinds of foods or avoid particular kinds of foods. Now, I don't have those issues, so I can pretty much eat anything if I want to, but some people, that may not be the case. Now, I understand that if you're a 15-year-old, pizza is a survival food. At least that's the way they may think. However, in reality, you're not going to starve to death. You're not going to really be hurt if you don't eat for a few days, maybe even a couple of weeks. I went one time fasting for 14 days, and I didn't go without water. Can't do that. But I went 14 days without eating just to see what would happen. I was curious, you know, do you get to where you can't even function or you cannot work? And that was not the issue. It wasn't the problem. It was a very good learning experience. In fact, I need to go 30 days maybe next time. Might be good for me. So you see, when we talk about these special needs, it's things that you may need within your household, you personally or somebody in your household or somebody that you have stewardship over. And when we're looking at the special needs, we're looking at the people around you. It does take into consideration what about the climatic conditions that you're dealing with, because that may affect what you need in the way of clothing, particularly if you have people that are very young, as in infants and young children, or if you have the elderly who are much more susceptible to cold and things like that. You have to take a look at what is the event you're dealing with, how serious is the event. It's things about how do you take care of your vision. You see, if you have glasses and you really just can't see without glasses, then one of your special needs may in fact be to have backup glasses or the contact lens or those kinds of things so that you'll be sure you can see, because survival's a little tougher if you're trying to do everything by braille. There's, of course, these special nutritional needs. First aid becomes a special need because if people are injured. You know, when you go into an incident, if everybody is healthy and well and nobody's been hurt, then first aid is not a consideration for you. But because of the event, whatever it may be, now somebody is injured, broken bones, cuts, abrasions, bruises, those kinds of things, first aid now becomes an important thing for you to take into consideration. We have things like personal protection. In fact, we'll talk a little more about that with my special guest here. Medications is one of those that's fairly obvious for some people. If you're using medications, what do you do about that? How do you take care of that long term? There may even be life support issues. Here, a number of years ago, I was doing a program. In fact, this was back in 1999, and there was considerations about what might go on with Y2K, and I was asked to be on programs because, you know, my position was, I don't know if there's going to be anything serious happen with Y2K or not. I don't know. That's not my area of specialty. But if something happens and you're prepared for it, then no big deal. If nothing happens and you're prepared, then great. You're prepared for the next time around. I didn't have an issue about whether it was going to occur or not. It's like preparedness needs to be a part. part of your life all the time. Okay, there was this big consideration about what might happen with power grid and communications and all those things if they go down. And I'm on a radio talk show. I was doing them all the time, just talking about preparedness to get ready for emergencies, no matter what caused them. And this lady comes on asking questions. In fact, when she came on the air, she was absolutely in tears. She was sobbing already and talking about, what am I going to do if the power grid goes down because my husband is on a respirator? That's how they keep him alive. Well, that's a special need. You see, in my household, electricity is not a special need. It's a convenience. It's a luxury thing. We like having it, but I don't have to have it. In fact, my attitude is, if the power goes off, great, I don't have to pay the bill anymore, because we're prepared to deal with that. So you see how these special needs may be in your household. You will have to take a look at your situation and determine, is there something that is health and life threatening, not just uncomfortable, but truly, truly becomes a life-threatening issue, then you've got to do something about it beforehand. All right. Now, as we're talking about these ideas, we actually just kind of go from special needs right into long-term considerations, because if you think about, well, I have to be prepared to deal with out electricity because I have a very special need, and that may be immediately, like somebody who's on a respirator or other equipment, like somebody that has the oxygen generator at home that requires electricity to power it. You must have a backup source of power to take care of those things. But as it becomes longer and longer in duration, then more and more things become a little more important to you. And we're going to go through those things as we move along here. I mentioned first aid. If you're not injured during the event, but now you're injured, you know, weeks after on the long-term things, folks, I would encourage you, please, go see the Red Cross. Go through their basic, their standard first aid course, then go through the advanced course. If you don't need it, somebody around you will. It's very important that you learn some of those skills that they will teach you so you can take care of people in your household. You see, during an emergency, now, I want to introduce my guest right here. James, are you with us?
I am.
Okay. James is in the professional and the law enforcement industry, if you will, in public service. He's been doing this for a number of years. He travels around to conferences. He actually speaks at some of them, as well as he travels to different presentations that are being put on by other organizations, learning from them, and he's also sharing and teaching with them. Tell me something, if you would, James, because of your experience here. When we have an emergency, how long does it take? If there's people being injured and there's damage to infrastructure and buildings and people are hurt, how long does it take to clog up the 911 system and the first responders to get out and help you? And how exposed are people during major events?
Well, of course, that's dependent upon where you are. Larger cities have larger systems, but they're still easily overwhelmed. The national averages are that there's approximately one police officer for every 300 people in the United States. There's one EMT for about every 470 people, and about 70% of those are volunteer. There's one firefighter for every 280 people, and about 70% of those are volunteer. And then even if you start talking about doctors and nurses, there's one doctor for every 410 people and one nurse for every 132 people. So it's not hard to see that things can get overwhelmed very quickly, and that's why I spend so much of my time, along with you, but speaking to people and trying to help people understand that they need to get themselves ready, because it might be a little while.
So in other words, the personal responsibility lies within your home, not to just dial 911 and expect somebody's going to show up. I mean, right now, when we haven't had major events, that's a wonderful system to have. The first responders, the police, the EMTs and those people, what a blessing to have them. But you cannot count on them if something has really gone wrong. They're likely to not be there. That's your point, isn't it?
That is correct, and you can look directly at, you know, what happened with Katrina and the things that went on there. It was sometimes, and of course the problem is that the further out you are, and we all hear about New Orleans and things like that, but the further out you are, the harder it becomes for them to get to you in any quick manner.
So our responsibility really is for us to take that responsibility, not just count on somebody else to be there. Just because they can be right now, that may not happen. That's an extremely important point for people to consider in their personal preparedness. We'll continue with these thoughts and some more ideas right after this break with Prepare Without Fear. I'm your host, Tim Phillips.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. I'm your host, Jim Phillips, speaking to you on this number 11 program that we have about special needs and long-term considerations as we're going through this series. And once again, if you're new here, I encourage you, please go back and listen to the previous programs, because this is an entire series of classes and courses and presentations that I've been doing for years. As I travel around the country, I like doing them live with people, but you know what? There's just not enough of me to go around sometimes, so this gives us a place to send people, and we surely appreciate Republic Broadcasting for both having us on the air and then archiving these programs, so there's a place for you to go back and listen and send your neighbors. Do you realize that one of the most important things that I believe we need to be doing in the area of preparedness is helping other people around us prepare? It's part of the reason I do it. I think it's part of my responsibility to help my friends and neighbors across this country, because I can't do it for them, and neither can any organization, entity, government, or whoever it is take care of everybody. That responsibility lies within our own homes. And that fits right in with what we were talking about before the break, when we talk about the first responders and first aid and injury you must be able to take care of yourself with some of the supplies and, more importantly, the skill so that you'll know what to do, because systems become overloaded very quickly when we have a major event. You know, as we talk about this education, this learning, first aid being one of those things, depending on what's on your horizon, depending on what you're preparing for, and by the way, I think you should prepare for all eventualities, this is where you go to lectures and classes, you buy books, you learn about things. One of the classic books that's been around for a long time, we talk about the kinds of events and being prepared for these things, both short-term and long-term. Kirsten Kearney's book that's been around for many years, it's a classic called Nuclear War Survival Skills. You must have that book as far as I'm concerned. Get that book. Go through it. It has wonderful preparedness things in there, but it'll help you understand how to deal with the nuclear side of things, the radiation side of things. Whatever that may be, whenever it may be, how severe it may be, you need to be prepared to deal with it. How about these medical issues? There's books that are written on wilderness medicine. There's a book like When There's No Doctor, When There's No Dentist. Those are some of the things that should be in your library so you can be taking personal responsibility for your first aid and your health long term. So consider those things as a part of your learning that you need to do. Now, I'm going to get back with our guest here, James, talking about some of these issues, particularly in the personal protection. Now, since he's a professional police officer and has spent a number of years in this area, he's seen a lot, done a lot, and he can give us some good direction in these areas. When you talk about personal protection, James, there's different levels of that. We go from the non-lethal, the repulsive kinds of things, right through things that begin to injure and hurt, and right up to things that may, in fact, inflict deadly force. Now, from your position, I would consider you somebody who's qualified to discuss this with people from both sides of the fence, if you will. Let's start with the non-lethal kinds of things. What are some of the things that people might be able to consider if they're just trying to drive somebody off, get away from them? What do we have in that category?
Well, there are a few different ones. We have the chemical weapons, which are used heavily by law enforcement in our professional realm. We use pepper spray a lot. The military uses CSCN, tear gas, things of that nature. And basically what you're looking at is you're looking at to either impair them or just cause them enough pain that they'll go away and not cause any problems for you. Or in the case of law enforcement, that they'll comply and we can do our job and do what we need to do there. So chemical weapons is certainly an option, and in most states, the laws allow people to have those. And I just recommend that people look into their own laws in their communities and states and whatnot, because I certainly don't want to encourage anyone to break the law. But as you have those things available to you, that's one option to look at.
Question I have is, like the pepper sprays and those things, What will they do? What will they not do? How effective are they, and can you rely on it to absolutely work every time?
No, you can't rely on it to work every single time. I mean, first of all, you're looking at something you're going to spray out from this can that you're holding. And one of the problems that you have is, of course, wind. So it's not completely reliable 100% of the time. You have a stiff wind coming. You certainly don't want to be shooting that into the wind. Otherwise, you're the one who's going to get it, and the other person's not going to get anything on them. The other thing is that it's not completely incapacitating. In fact, in the realm of law enforcement, we're actually, I had my opportunity and I got sprayed in the face with the stuff. And yes, it causes a lot of pain and whatnot, but one of the things we do is train to actually fight through that, because just because you get hit with the stuff doesn't mean that the fight's going to end. And so people can fight through it. The other problem that you have, or the other issue that you have with them, is that especially people who might be on certain types of drugs are not as affected. Drugs and alcohol sometimes make those symptoms less noticeable to the person, or just allow them to be able to fight their way through it a little bit easier. And so it doesn't completely incapacitate people all the time.
But it is something that people can consider, and also as a way of repelling animals. It has been used there successfully. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
So it's something worth considering. Okay, what else do we have that people can potentially use?
Well, impact weapons is another area that we can look at, with batons or other things that you would... Basically, you're looking at something that you can hit someone with that may or may not cause bodily damage, but may cause enough pain that they'll stop.
Okay, right after this break, we'll continue with personal protection. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you have a high electric bill? Do you use an electric company that just provides you expensive electricity? Not anymore. Visit www.energy-swap.com and take advantage of a new way to save on your monthly energy bill. Allow Energy Swap to switch your provider and receive the same reliable service and the best rewards program in the industry. Save up to 20% on your electric bill. Rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. No cost to switch. Flat rate plans. Reward program. What more could you ask for? A free gift. Try Energy Swap and receive a free getaway for two. Sign up today. 888-238-6397. That's 888-238-6397. Visit our website www.energy-swap.com and use the tool generator to calculate how much you can save on your monthly energy bill. 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
Attention RBN listeners who suffer from excruciating joint pain. If you are interested in suppressed but amazingly effective traditional arthritis remedies, this will be the single most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. Recently, a scientist who specializes in ancient medicine has discovered a 3,000-year-old arthritis remedy that has been proven in studies to not only relieve joint pain and inflammation, but also to rebuild damaged cartilage as well. And the amazing thing is just how fast it works. In fact, relief for me came in less than a week. Now, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made for this ancient remedy. However, it is still legal to own it, and right now a small amount is available to our listeners. Keep in mind, shipments get filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you take immediate action by going to www.321relief.com. And the best part? RBN listeners pay absolutely nothing today. Simply go to 321relief.com. That's www.321relief.com, or call 815-259-4555. For details.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000 plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores, buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday, and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. I'm your host, Jim Phillips. Discussing this area of special needs and then long-term considerations, we're taking a look at personal protection, things that you may want to consider as a part of your preparedness. My guest with me is James Phillips, a professional police officer for a number of years now, and who has the experience and the authority to speak on these things because of his profession, what he's been doing for years. James, before the break, we were talking about the impact weapons. Why don't you describe some of these things to us and a little bit of what their value is, what their limits are in personal protection?
Well, and one quick distinction I would like to make, these couple of things here that we're talking about, we term in the professional realm as less lethal. It's not that these are incapable or cannot or won't kill someone. There have been people who have died from allergic reactions to pepper spray. And we ran into that same kind of thing with impact weapons that we were talking about. Some of the things like clubs and bats, staves, hand, you can use an axe handle or a broom handle, batons. I carry a collapsible steel baton on duty with me often, hammers, and all kinds of other things. I mean, really, it's very, very basic. An impact weapon is anything you can hit anyone with. A rock and a sock or anything like that would work fine, too. But you have to realize that these things, just because, you know, they aren't, maybe immediately lethal in general, they still have the capability of causing severe damage, injury, or even killing someone. So the thing that I want to do is I just want to caution people to be very careful about the use of these things, and they're not to be taken lightly or treated lightly. But nonetheless, impact weapons are one of the most basic things that humans have been using for hundreds, thousands of years to protect themselves and to even gather game and other things of that nature. And so they're fairly simple. They have varying effectiveness depending upon what you're using. And what it really comes down to is it goes back to knowledge and knowing how to use these things properly.
Isn't that one of the things that you're very strong on, is if you want to get into using any kind of a weapon, you need to have experience, you need to have knowledge, you need to have training. And the more deadly one of these things is, the more important it is for you to gain some skill. Just because you see somebody do something doesn't mean that you really know how to do it yourself, particularly in the emotion of the moment when you're caught in an event needing to protect yourself. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. There are all kinds of things that happen. These are very, very emotionally charged situations, and it's necessary to practice and to train, because you'd be surprised what happens to you in a combat situation, whether a fight breaks out or whether someone's pointing a gun at you or something. Things happen that you wouldn't think would happen. And we in the law enforcement area I've spent a lot of time studying what happens to the human body and what happens to people and their minds and things that when a deadly event occurs. And the reason that I study those things is so that I can be ready for them should they happen. And I hope they don't, but nonetheless, I still recognize that it can happen, and I need to be personally ready for those things. Psychologically, mentally, physically, I go out and I practice regularly with the tools that I use, the weapons that I use. I go out and practice with those things. But I also study and practice some stressful situations, because when you're put under high stress, a lot of things happen. One of those things is tunnel vision. People will get tunnel vision. People who have been involved in very serious incidents have noted that they lost color or had they couldn't hear what was going on. They saw things happen, but they didn't hear anything. Some people say they happen in slow motion. So a lot of different things happen, and they're all physiological and psychological responses of the body to very, very high amounts of stress. And you have to be able to understand those things so you can work through them.
When you've talked sometimes in the past about these impact weapons, mm-hmm. you have a lot of choices to choose from, just something you can pick up and swing. But
yeah.
How about improvising a few things? There's one that you talk about in particular, if you need to defend yourself in a situation. Let's take a plane. Mm-hmm. And we don't carry weapons on there. We hope that the Sky Marshal is on that plane if somebody gets weird. But if they don't, you need to do something. What do you have you can improvise with? I mean, there's several things that may be available to you, but what's the most common?
There are many things on there. We aren't allowed to take bladed weapons and other things on there, and that's fine. But in the times where you need to improvise, when your life is in danger and it's time to make a decision, really anything around you can be used as a weapon if you know how. I mean, you can use your bare hand as a weapon. That's part of martial arts, fighting, training, those kind of things. Some of the ones that are immediately available in that kind of situation is the in-flight magazine, quite frankly. You take that and you roll that up very tightly, and it makes a very effective impact weapon. And there you just have sheets of paper that are just wound very, very tightly, and you can do some serious damage with that if you have practiced with it, if you know what you're doing.
So that makes a short little club.
We're talking about
those slick magazine pages that are very dense, and they're actually quite strong, and if you roll that into a tight bundle, you've got something you can really swing and hit with.
Yes, absolutely. And so, you know, there are a number of things that are available to you, but that's certainly one that's available to you to use to protect or defend yourself, because we all recognize in this point in the game that if someone is going to create a problem on a plane, our choices are that we can either take that into our own hands and deal with that as necessary to bring it safely into control so the pilot can land the plane and get us down on the ground and the police and the FBI and everybody can take over and take this individual into custody and whatever. Or the other option is if we allow them to take control of the plane, we might have a repeat of the events of 9/11, which none of us wants to see. And certainly none of us wants to be on a plane that's a part of that.
Okay. So what we're talking about in some cases is this thing I discuss, which is think outside the box. You think in terms of protection and a weapon, you're going like, well, I don't have a knife, and I don't have a metal club, and I don't have a gun. I guess I'm disarmed. And that's not the case, is it?
No, it's not. In fact, if you look back in history, you can see that most of the Chinese martial arts weapons that we see out there, many of those were from other, were improvised from other items that they had available to them because the king at the time or whatever basically made a law: there will be no swords. Well, that's a pretty common way that dictators take over and control people, is that they try to take away that which with they can protect themselves. Well, those people being inventive and intelligent, just found other things that they could use. Okay, I can't have a sword, I'll find something else. And so it does. It takes a little bit of creativeness, it takes a little bit of ingenuity, it takes a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of thinking through the process, but you can find things all around you that you could use should you need to.
Key is knowledge, the key is practice and understanding. Let's move to the what we consider to be the more deadly of the types of weapons you could use to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
To be both blades and then something that launches a projectile at very high speed.
Yeah. The bladed weapons, we all think of those. I mean, there's knives and swords, razors, daggers, spears. There's a number of different things. There's two basic concepts or ideas behind these types of weapons and how they're used. One is either as a slashing weapon, which is primarily aimed at, I guess, causing a lot of blood loss, causing a lot of pain, causing a lot of distraction, a lot of other things. Or there's the stabbing kinds of weapons, like a spear or something like that, that is intended to impact deeply into the assailant and cause enough bodily damage that it stops them from doing what they need to do. Again, here, I highly recommend people get some very some very serious training and some experience with these things. They require sharpening. They vary in effectiveness depending on both what they are, but also the person who's using them. It's not about what weapon you have. It's about the person using it and what those people know. And they also require, some training, some practice, and things like that. And you have to recognize that, you may get cut as well if you're going to engage in some of the. This is why I don't like the usual idea that everyone has of a knife fight. Two people whip out knives and they're going to go at. I'm sorry, I don't buy that one for 1 minute. Someone whipped out a knife, I'm going to get something bigger and more dangerous to protect myself. I'm not going to really go that route because they're fairly short and you're going to have to get in close proximity and you might get cut up yourself, and that's not a small deal. That's a very big deal if you end up getting cut severely. Now you have to take care of that, and especially in an emergency situation where you may not have medical attention or whatever immediately available. We're talking about infection and a lot of other things that create a lot of problems that you may not be able to take care of. So it's important to avoid those bladed weapons. I guard those very cautiously. I don't want to point to them too heavily because most of what we see is kind of romanticized in movies and TV shows and things about how knives and swords or whatever can be used. And I question a lot of their effectiveness in a real, true combat situation.
Disadvantage of these handheld bladed weapons is, as you point out, you've got to be in there close, and if somebody else has one, you've got just as much trouble as they've got and can get yourself injured. That's why having something that's more of a standoff weapon has its advantages, which may include something that you throw, as in spears, or the bow and arrow, crossbows, and those types of things. If we're going to a more primitive kind of weapon, that allows you to get back a little ways so that you're not going to get cut by somebody else's weapon. Of course, the consideration is, what do they have that's coming at you? These are I'll call them unfortunate topics and considerations, but it is a reality that we may have to deal with. And as society breaks down, whether it's localized, regionalized, or much larger area, society breaks down, some people, some men lose their heads and their hearts, and they become very dangerous. That is something to take into consideration as a part of your long-term preparedness, because you have a stewardship, you have a responsibility for household and family, and everybody's going to have to choose their own approach to that. Different people have different philosophies on it, and I'm certainly not here to say what you must do. What we want to do on this program is give you some options and something to think about. If you make a choice to arm yourself, then you've got to do it right, or you're just wasting your time and your money. Do it right so that it's effective, or don't do it at all is what it comes down to.
Yes.
Now, let's go to the big guns, if you will, literally, in terms of personal protection. And again, you as a police officer, a professional in this area, what's your philosophy about that? What's your feelings about the, you know, Second Amendment and the right to bear arms and all of those types of things?
Well, personally, I'm a strong believer in it. And you know, I can't speak for law enforcement as a whole, and different people have different ideas. And I think a lot of those ideas are based upon their experiences in the areas where they are. You know, you get into the larger cities and you get into the more populated states, and they've had more crime and more problems and those kind of issues. And they get to just loathe guns and anything, any firearms or anything of that nature. And so they like to shy away from them. They like to point to them as, here's the problem, here's the issue, these are bad, we should get rid of them all, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So the gun is the problem. That's what people think, right?
Yeah, that's what they like to point to. When in reality, a gun is just like a knife or anything else to a great extent, where, you know, you can sit a loaded gun on a table and it'll sit there. You know, most guns, I would say any good weapon, will sit there on a table for 1,000 years and never go off. It takes someone to actually pick it up and pull the trigger to make it a bad thing. It is like anything else. It is a matter of the person who wields it and who uses it. You know, I don't care whether you're talking about a handgun, a pocket knife, or a nuclear weapon. It doesn't make any difference. It is the person who wields that and the control that that person has. And I'm talking about the internal control, their hearts and their minds in the right place and doing things for the right reasons. That's what really matters. And that's where we run into a lot of these problems, where people point to it and say, that's a bad thing. Guns are bad. And I don't believe that at all. I think they're very good, and I think the people have the right, I think the public has the right to keep and bear arms. I think that's very clearly been put out in the Second Amendment. And I know that there are challenges to that all the time. There's one going through the Supreme Court either now or here shortly, having to do with people in Washington, D.C. being able to have guns, and I'm very interested to see what the court has to say about that. I nonetheless believe that we do have the right, that the people do have the right to keep and bear arms, and I respect that very much.
And you did a little, some research. You pointed out to me about some communities in some areas that have made it, shall we say, mandatory for people to keep and bear arms and be trained on them. What happens to the crime in their area?
There are a few of those. There's one, I don't recall the name of the town right offhand down in Georgia that I read about, that they had their crime rate just absolutely dump. I mean, it just went away almost. It fell by, you know, hundreds of percents. It dropped off. It was a huge drop in the crime rate because, and part of this comes down to some of the studies that have been done and people who have gone in and interviewed people in prisons. What you have to understand is criminals do not like guns. They would much rather go someplace where they know that no one can have a gun than go someplace where they know that there's a high likelihood, or even more so, a place where it's supposedly mandatory to keep and bear arms. They want to avoid that. Criminals are cowards. That's basically what it comes down to. Criminals are cowards. They don't want to be seen. They don't want to be heard. They don't want to be confronted because they want to get something for nothing, and they want to get away with it and do their thing. And so they avoid those kind of things. And so there have been some communities that have taken the forefront on that and said, look, we're just going to make it this way, and everyone's supposed to have a gun. Now, I don't know what they do to enforce that, or even if they do enforce that, but nonetheless, as it becomes common knowledge around the area that that is the case, all of a sudden, crime tends to really drop off because the criminals don't want that. They'll take an easy target. That's what criminals are about. They're about easy targets, getting something for nothing.
Okay. So we know what your personal feelings are about that, and mine certainly parallel that 100%. Now, if you're going to choose to arm yourself with a weapon, we have basically two kinds of guns, the handgun and then the long gun, the rifle. Mm-hmm. Give a little description of those things. I imagine much of our audience is familiar with those things, but let's look at it from the standpoint of personal protection and what may be effective and what choices you may want to make.
Well, there are two basic breakdowns, yes, the handguns and the rifles, or the long guns. The difference in here, or the way I look at it, is very, very simple and on a basic level. A handgun is something that is concealable. It's small. It's very easy to carry around. It's very easy to deal with. But ballistically, they do not compare to rifles and shotguns. They don't compare to the long guns. The long guns are far more deadly. If that's what you're going for, and what we're talking about here is the use of deadly force. And so you have to have the right and the reason and, have everything in line to be able to use that. When you get to that point, you need it, and you need the very best thing you can get that will do the job the fastest and the best.
Okay. After this break, we'll continue more of our discussion on personal protection and some of the choices that you may want to make, depending on your personal philosophy and the area you live in, what you're preparing for, the choices you may have to make. Right after this break.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Thank you.
back to Prepare Without Fear. I'm your host, Jim Phillips. Keep in mind, as you have any questions you would like to send in, you can email them to askjim@preparemyfamily.com. That's askjim@preparemyfamily.com. You can also call and leave a voicemail message at 1-888-U-GET-SET. That's 888, the letter U, get set. And we'll be glad to address things that you send to us in the coming programs and or get information to you as it may be of benefit to you. This area of personal protection is one that's a very serious consideration, and I know I've heard people with different philosophies and different ideas about that. Our purpose in this program is to simply give you the information and some of the options. If you're looking to make choices here, whether it's in personal protection or in all of the areas of preparedness, that's the purpose, give you information so you can make informed choices, not based on Hollywood or based on what somebody else said about something or based on your own theory, but things that have some depth of reasoning behind them. We do our best to explain those things. Before the break, James, we were talking about weapons, and in particular now guns. Continue with that for a few moments. We have just a couple of minutes before our top of the hour break, and we'll pick up after that. So just keep going for a minute here.
Well, we were talking about pistols and long guns and the differences between those. The pistols are you know, concealable. They're small. They're easy to carry around. They're fairly lightweight. And they're relatively easy to control for most people and whatnot. One of the cautions I would give here is that most people involved in accidental discharges or accidental shootings where they hurt themselves or damage property or something within their own home, most of those occur with handguns. And so you have to be especially careful. They've got a very short turning radius, and so it's easy to get turned around on you pretty quick. A long gun is out there a little bit further, and it's a little bit harder to do those kind of things. But all of these things, as you talked about before, the more deadly it becomes, the more knowledge that you have to have. And when I speak about knowledge, I speak just like you do. It's information multiplied by experience. And I have little respect for people who own a gun but have never shot the thing or go out and shoot it. You know, I've been out and shot once a year or something like that. You need to get out more than that. You need to get out there, and you need to get some real experience and some real combat training, not just plinking cans or shooting targets. I'm talking about you need to go someplace where someone has some real experience and some real training and get some real combat experience, because the way it looks on television, the way it looks in the movies, is not reality. And there's even a lot of things out there that are on the Internet and other places. I hear a lot of stupid things that just they don't work, they don't make sense, but someone's passing along as fact and other people buy into it, and it just makes a mess of the whole situation. And so with these things, all of these things are very, very important to gather a lot of knowledge on. Now, the long guns have, in general, a longer range. They have a higher level of capacity to do major injury. Now, when I talk about range, shotguns are going to be a little bit shorter on their range, but they're very, very good for close combat and things like that, where you're dealing with things very close in, because they give a wider spread and a wider pattern. The rifles are, you know, of course, the larger the bullet in general, the further out there you can reach and get someone. And that's another one of those areas where I hear people talk about, 50 caliber or, sniper rifles, things like that. I don't think most people have any need for something quite that large. Now, that's a personal choice, but I don't think most people do, because if you're going after someone that far out, you can't prove that they're a danger to you. So what are you doing shooting them? We still have to take this very, very seriously, and we're talking about the potential for taking a human life. And it's not something we do slightly or easily, as it is done in the movies. People diving over cars shooting each other. I mean, it's crazy. That's not the way the real world is. We have responsibilities, and you're responsible for every shot you put down range. And you are responsible for where that bullet goes and the damage that it does. You're responsible.